I just want to share a few thoughts with you here on this Communion Sunday. We're going to begin in Mark chapter 15. The words will be on the screen, I believe, but if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open it. Mark chapter 15. Again, we thank each of you for coming today. It's good, Jim, it's good to see you recovering from your surgery, and we've missed you, but it's good to have you back. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 15, verse 6. It says, "Now at the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested." This was Pilate. "There was one named Barabbas who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, 'Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?'" Which was Jesus. "For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd." Notice that the multitude has now changed to a crowd, and there is a difference. "So that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, 'What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?'" What do I do with Jesus? Verse 13, "So they cried out again, 'Crucify him.' Then Pilate said to them, 'Why? What evil has he done? What evil has he done?' But they cried out all the more, 'Crucify him.' So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them. And he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified." This morning I want to talk about Barabbas and Pilate and Jesus. Barabbas, Pilate, and Jesus. And then some sub-characters in this passage. Barabbas is noted for his evil. Barabbas could probably represent the worst of the worst. It says of Barabbas, whose name meant Bar-Abbas, or son of Abba, son of a father, son of the father, if you will, which is an irony because of what he had done. Barabbas was a rebel, and he and his cohorts had done their best to rebel against Rome, and they had murdered people in the process. Now, I'm sure Barabbas was justified in his own mind in doing what he did, but it doesn't take away the fact that he legally was a rebel, and that he was a rabble-rouser, if you will, and that he was a murderer, and that he had been apprehended, and he was in custody and was scheduled to be crucified, and rightfully so, according to the laws of the land. This son of the father, this Barabbas, and yet this worst of the worst is who he represents, is going to be set free because of Jesus. And then we have Pilate, that leader that is a waffler, a compromiser. Pilate was the fellow who would just as soon not have any problems. I want to be the leader, I want to be the ruler, but I don't want to have any problems. And so don't cause me problems. If you cause me problems, I'll crucify you. I'll just take care of you that way. Just leave me to lay on my couch of luxury, the wine in my hand and my dainties. That was Pilate. And he could flow either direction. He would go either way. He had, in his opinion, no dog in the fight. Every year he would release a prisoner to the people to kind of keep the crowds at bay and to appease everyone. He would do whatever it would take to get people on his side and to have people like him. And so here he has Jesus. He knows Jesus is not guilty. He knows Jesus has not done what they have said, but he's a waffler. He's a compromiser, so he'll go either way. And when the pressure was on, you know, about the best that he said was, "What evil has he done?" That's probably the best that he could say. But even after that, the pressure of the crowd, he succumbed to that and said, "Okay, whatever you want." Instead of releasing Barabbas, you know, he was popular with the people, instead of releasing Jesus, "I'll release Barabbas to you, and that would please the people." Maybe that would calm things down. So Barabbas represents the worst of the worst. Pilate represents the compromiser, the waffler, kind of flow either direction, as long as we just keep things calm down. And then we have Jesus. And if Barabbas is the worst of the worst, Jesus is the best of the best. Amen? Here we have the Son of God, who has done nothing worthy of being crucified or being scourged. He has done nothing. He's innocent. Pilate recognizes that. And no doubt Barabbas recognizes that Jesus has done nothing in order to the worthy of death. But Jesus has enemies, and those enemies will have the day. They will win the day. Now, the sub-characters in this story are the chief priests, and the chief priests have stirred the crowd. Look at verse 11. They have stirred the crowd. They've gone around and whispered in ears and said, "Now, when the time is right, you yell, 'Crucify him.' We want you to do this. We want to stir up the crowd." The chief priests were the hypocrites of the day. They were the religious leaders. They should have known better. But Jesus was a threat to them. He was a threat to their rule. He was a threat to their authority. He was a threat to their power. And so hypocritically, they accused Jesus of blasphemy. And these are the ones that stirred up the crowd. If we can get the crowd on our side, then the crowd can yell, "Crucify him," and we religious leaders wouldn't have to do that, although that's what's in their heart. That is the height of hypocrisy, the chief priests. And then we have the nameless multitudes. Notice in verse 8, it is called the multitude begin to cry aloud. And then they are called, verse 11, the crowd. And verse 15, to gratify the crowd. They go from a multitude to a crowd. And it's the crowd who begins to cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." The Old Testament had said this. The Old Testament had said, "You shall not follow a multitude to do evil." Mob mentality. The Old Testament warned against mob mentality. Have we not seen mob mentality working in our day? Have we not seen it in our neighboring state in Portland? Have we not seen it even here in Clark County? The multitude. You get the multitude. You can't blame any one person if they're all in unity. And that's what happened here, is that the crowd began to cry, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." No doubt some in that crowd had no idea who Jesus was. They had no idea that he was the Son of God. They had no idea how good he was and that he was innocent. They just were going along. And so the crowd are the cowards, because there's safety in numbers. If we can just get enough people yelling, "Crucify him," then they can't spot us. That was the day before they had cameras on our phones. At the first notion of a crowd, boy, the cameras come out and start videotaping. But not in that day. So we have Barabbas, and we have Pilate, and we have Jesus, and we have the chief priests, and we have the crowds. I wonder, who am I? In this cast of characters, who am I? Am I a Barabbas? Am I a murderer? Am I a rebel? I wouldn't like to think I am. Are you a Barabbas today? Maybe our Barabbases were in first service. Who are you? Are you a Barabbas today? Maybe not. Were you a Barabbas at one time? Were you the worst of the worst? I'm getting amens here. Wow, I didn't get amens in first service. You are bad people. How many know there's a little Barabbas in all of us? Because we all have rebelled against God. We've all probably committed murder in our heart, maybe not all of us, but some with hatred. Jesus said, if you hate someone, you've committed murder. If you just look upon a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery. It's not necessarily the act that convicts us, but it's the thought or the action. So maybe there's a little Barabbas in all of us. Are we pilots? Are we the pilots? Are we the compromisers, the wafflers who just, look, I'll do anything. I'll go with whatever crowd is the loudest. I'll just calm down, just keep it down. No standards of my own. I don't have anything that I stand on. I don't stand for anything. I'll just kind of go along and waffle along and be that compromiser that just wants everything to be quiet and settle down. Are we a pilot? Are you a pilot? Or is there a little pilot in all of us? Is there a little pilot on all of us where we'd like to just compromise our standards and say, yeah, I'll go along with anything as long as it just quiets down? Well, I hope not. And then we'll skip over Jesus for a moment because I know none of us are the best of the best. We'll pick that up in a moment. But what about the chief priests, the religious leaders? It was their religion. It was their religious. There's a word. It's coming. It takes me a minute. Religious. I can't even say it. Religious. Yeah. Thank you. To you who can talk right. Thank you. Religious. Really. Anyway, whatever it is, you understand. Thank you, Jenny. But it was so hypocritical. We're the religious leaders of the day. Look at us. We have the nice flowing robes. We have the look. We obey all the rules. Jesus said of them, he said, you even down to the little mint gardens, the herb gardens that you grow in your house, you tithe off that mint and that anise. He said, and that's okay to do, but he said, you stumble over the bigger things like how to wash properly. And if you don't wash your hands properly, we'll kick you out of the synagogue. What? You dare to be healed on the Sabbath day? It's not right to be healed on the Sabbath day. You're excommunicated. Isn't that interesting? The religious leaders of the day who were so precise in obeying the old laws, they would tithe off a mint leaf, and yet they would cast someone out of the synagogue for being healed on the Sabbath day. Something wrong with that? It's called hypocrisy, isn't it? Am I a pilot? I mean, am I a chief priest? Are you a chief priest? Now, I wouldn't stand up here and call any of us a hypocrite, but maybe we've all got a little hypocrisy in us. Or used to. Not now, but used to. And then there's the crowd, the cowards. I wouldn't stand on my own and say, crucify him. If everybody else was saying, let him go, I wouldn't be the lone voice saying, crucify him. No, 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 I'm part of the crowd. I got to do what the crowd's doing. So I'm going to listen to the crowd. I'm going to feel the pulse of the crowd. What's the crowd doing? The crowd is saying, crucified. That's what I'll do. Why? Because I'm a coward. Because I don't want to stand alone against this crowd. Because the mob mentality might destroy me. So we have the multitude. Who's the multitudes? What are their names? I don't know their names. They're nameless. But that's what a crowd is. Is there a little of the crowd in us? My point is this. When we read this story, and I'm going to only speak for myself, I see a little of each one of them in me, or what I used to be. I see a pull from each one of them in my life. There are times when I feel that pull and I have to resist it to be like the crowd. See, because if the crowd is yelling, crucify him, and I know that's wrong, I've got to voice something different. Let him go! But that's hard to do with a crowd, right? We call that today peer pressure, right? Peer pressure. So there's maybe a little Barabbas, a little Pilate, a little chief priest, a little multitude or crowd in me. But what of Jesus? What of Jesus in this story? He's the one without fault. He's the one without sin. Look what Romans chapter 3 says. Look what Romans chapter 3 says about the Barabbases and the Pilates and the chief priests and the crowds of the day. And whether we like it or not, it also describes you and I. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This has just described humanity without Jesus. It is just described, in my opinion, though it comes from the pages of the Old Testament, it describes the society we live in today. Come on. Get with me. It doesn't get any better than this, and we offer no refunds. This describes the day we're living. It describes us before Jesus. It describes Barabbas. It describes Pilate. It describes the multitudes. It describes the chief priests. It describes people that need a Savior. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And I love this, and this is where it's going to bring everything back to the communion table. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for who? Us, the ungodly. That's us, the ungodly, the Barabbases, the Pilates, the chief priests, the multitude, the ungodly, you and I. Before we came to Christ, we were ungodly. Amen? How many were sinners before you were saved? Of course, every one of us. Every one of us. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity, the Bible tells us. We were lost without God. We were lost. And we needed a Savior. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But, and I love this verse, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still, what? Sinners, say it with me, Christ died for us. Praise God. So Barabbas, as bad as you are, the worst of the worst, Jesus died for you. For Pilate, as waffling and compromising as you are, Jesus died for you. And for you chief priests, you hypocrites, Jesus died for you. And to you nameless people in the crowds who are cowards and have mob mentality, Jesus died for you. And for every single person listening to me right now, Jesus died for you. And Jesus died for me. Hallelujah. He gave his life on the cross. And I didn't deserve it. Communion Sunday is always a special Sunday for me because it's a reminder of how much Jesus loves me, that he would give his life for me. And so that little bit of Barabbas in me, that little bit of Pilate or chief priests or the multitudes, thank God he sent Jesus to save me from that. Amen? Amen. To save me. You say, well, Pastor, you must have been pretty bad. I wasn't that bad. Well, good for you. even at our best, and the Bible in Isaiah does say that we have righteousness. And you know what it says about our righteousness? It is as what? Filthy rags. Yeah. So is the good that I try to be without Christ, that goodness is like filthy rags. No, without Jesus, we don't have anything. We're nothing. But I'll tell you, when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he said the powerful statement from Luke 23:34, and I want you to wrap Barabbas and Pilate and the chief priests and the multitudes all in this, Jesus cried out from the cross, you say it with me, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive Barabbas. Now, we don't know that Barabbas saw Jesus dying on the cross. We don't know that. But is it possible? Is it possible that Barabbas, in astonishment, released by Pilate to be free because Jesus took his place? Do you think Barabbas maybe had snuck through the shadows and took a peek at the one who died for him? I don't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he did. But if he did, can you imagine what he must have felt like, knowing he should have been on that cross and yet an innocent man was dying for him? You and I weren't there at the place of the skull over 2,000 years ago. You and I were not at the hill called Calvary. But every time we have communion, it's like we were there. And at the foot of the cross, we say, thank you, Jesus, for being willing to die for me. Amen? For being willing to die for me. Why would he do that? Why would Jesus die for you? Why would he die for anyone here today? Why would he die for any woman here or man here? Why would he die for little Henry? Even before little Henry was born, God knew little Henry would be here, and he died for him. Isn't that wonderful, Josh and Anna, to think of that? The Savior died for your son. Praise God. He died for your son, that little baby. He died for that little baby, and he died for the oldest person here today. And I'll respect the person's identity, but they're 98. Yeah. And he died for you. That she raised her hand? Okay, Velma, then I'll do it. I was walking careful, but amen. He died for Velma, 98 years old, visiting from California. He died for us. Maybe we were really good growing up. Maybe we didn't do anything bad, or maybe we were like Barabbas. It doesn't matter. Jesus died for us. Jesus died for us. And why did he do it? It's because of John 3:16-17. And I want you to quote it with me. It'll be on the screen. This is why he died for Barabbas. It's why he died for Pilate. It's why he died for the chief priests. It's why he died for the multitudes. Now, maybe not all of them accepted his death on the cross. Maybe not. And that's the sad thing, is there are people today who know that Jesus loves them and died for them, but they will not receive his salvation. We pray that they will. But have you? Have you accepted Jesus' salvation? Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart, come into your life, forgive you of your sins? And you might think like your sin is so big that God could never forgive you. But let me tell you, no one has ever done anything too bad that God can't forgive it. The only thing he can't forgive is someone's unwillingness to let him forgive. That's it. That's the unpardonable sin, in my opinion, is someone who's not willing to let God pardon it. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, I want to invite you to receive him into your heart and your life this morning with a simple prayer. Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe you loved me and you died on the cross for me. And I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. A simple prayer like that or similar to that is all it takes to start a relationship with Jesus. And you say, well, what if I fail? What if I sin? Join the family. We may fall, we may sin, but that's where we ask forgiveness and he forgives us, amen? But it starts with a confession that we need Jesus as our Savior. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to say this prayer with me. I'm going to ask everyone to repeat it after me. And when you say it, I want you to mean it from the bottom of your heart, because I want you to know that Jesus will hear your prayer. Just repeat it after us. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I have failed you. But I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to do my best to live for you every day. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and for loving me and for giving me a future. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's thank the Lord for someone who gave their hearts to the Lord today. Amen. 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 Now I want you to stand and I want you to quote these verses with me. John 3, 16 and 17. You may not even need the words on the screen. Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why he came. He loved us and he died for us. Amen? Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today. Amen. Amen. So Lord, as we dismiss this morning, we thank you for your salvation. I pray that someone this morning received Christ as their Savior. I want to encourage them to share that with someone, and that someone can help them live that life for Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you don't call us to be perfect people. You just call us to be followers, and we'll just kind of grow as we go, Lord, because the most important is that we give our hearts to Christ. Thank you, Lord, for dying for the youngest and the oldest among us today and shedding your blood, and that we can celebrate that together. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. And just enjoy the rest of your Sunday. You're dismissed. Thanks for joining us this morning. God bless you.